going to read a piece called Seven American Deaths and Disasters today. That's exactly what they are, coming after Andy Warhol. And the last one I will do will be in Spanish, and this is the collaboration that I did with Rachel Price. Okay, Seven American Deaths and Disasters. One. The president's car is now turning onto Elm Street, and it will be only a matter of minutes before he arrives at the trademark. I was on Stemmons Freeway earlier, and even the freeway was jam-packed with spectators waiting their chance to see the president as he made his way toward the trademark. It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route. There's numerous people running up the hill alongside Elm Street by the Stemmons Freeway. Several police officers are rushing up the hill at this time. Stand by, just a moment, please. Something has happened in the motorcade route. Stand by, please. Parkland Hospital, there has been a shooting. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound. I repeat, a shooting in the motorcade in the downtown area. Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound. The president's car is now going past me. The limousine is now traveling at a very high rate of speed. Secret servicemen standing up in the limousine. They are armed with submachine guns. It appears as though someone in the limousine might have been hit by gunfire. The president's car is coming up now. We know it's the presidential car. You can see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man spread-eagled over the top of the car. We understand Governor and Mrs. Connolly are in the car with the President and Mrs. Kennedy. We can't see who has been hit, if anyone's been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. I'm in behind the motorcade. Now it looks like they're going to Parkland Hospital. They're on the road to Parkland at this time. The Secret Service men are still spread-eagled over whoever is in the car. The President and Mrs. Kennedy, as we understand, and Governor and Mrs. Connolly. At this point, it looks as though it could have been one or two or even all of the people within the car. They may have been victims, may have been struck by shots, we don't know. My thanks to all of you, and it's on to Chicago, and let's win there. We want Bobby, we want Bobby, we want Bobby, we want Bobby. Senator, how are you going to counter Mr. Humphreys in his backgrounding you as far as the delegate votes go? Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? Is that possible? It could. Is it possible? Ladies and gentlemen, is it possible? Not only Senator Kennedy, oh my God, Senator Kennedy has been shot, and another man, a Kennedy campaign manager, and also possibly shot in the head, and I am right here. Rafer Johnson has a hold of the man who has apparently fired the shot. He's fired the shot. He's got the gun. The gun is pointed at me at this moment. I hope they can get the gun out of his hand. Be very careful. Get the gun. Get the gun. Get the gun. Get the gun. Stay away from the gun. Get the gun. Stay away from the gun. His hand is frozen. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to. Get his thumb. Get away from the barrel. Get away from the barrel, man. Watch it with the gun. Watch it with the gun. Look out for the gun. Okay, all right, that's it. Get it. Get the gun. Get the gun. Get the gun. Okay, now. Hold on to the guy. Get the gun. Get the gun. Hold on to him. Hold on to him. And ladies and gentlemen, they have the gun away from the man. They have the gun. I can't see the man. I can't see who it is. Senator Kennedy right now is on the ground. He has been shot. This is a, what is it? Wait a minute. Hold him, hold him, hold him. We don't want another Oswald. Hold him, hold him. We don't want another Oswald. Hold him, hold him. Keep people away from him. Keep people away from him. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is now. Make room, make room, make room, make room, make room, make room. The senator is on the ground. He's bleeding profusely from apparently clear back. Apparently the senator has been shot in the frontal area. We can't see where the senator has been shot, but come on, push back, come on, grab a hold of me, grab a hold of me, let's pull back, that's it, come on, get a hold of my arms, let's pull back, all right, the senator is now, the ambulance has been called, and the ambulance is bringing the ambulance now, and this is a terrible thing. It's reminiscent of the valley the other day, when the senator was out there, and someone hit him in the head with a rock, and people couldn't believe it at the time, but it's a fact. Keep room. Ethel Kennedy is standing by. She is calm. She is raising her hand high to motion people back. She's attempting to get calm. A woman with a tremendous amount of presence. A tremendous amount of presence. It's impossible to believe. It's impossible to believe this. There's a certain amount of fanaticism here as this has occurred. No one. They're trying to run everyone back. Clear the area. Clear the area. All right, right at this moment, the senator, apparently, we can't see if he's still conscious or not. Can you see if he's still conscious or not? I don't know. He's half conscious. He's half conscious. And ladies, we can't see. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the men, apparently a Kennedy supporter, is going first. Come on, out, out, out. Is there some way to get to close the doors? Is there doors here? Get out, out through the exit. Let's go, out we go, out. This is an unbelievable situation. They're clearing the halls. One man has blood on himself. We're walking down the corridors here. Repetition is in my speech. I have no alternative. The shock is so great. My mouth is dry. I can only say that here in the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, the back entrance from the podium in the press room, the senator walked back. I was directly behind him. You heard a balloon go off and a shot and didn't realize that a shot was a shot. And yet, a scream went up. Two men were on the ground, both bleeding profusely, and one of them was Senator Robert Kennedy. At this moment, we are stunned. We are shaking, as everyone else is, in this kitchen corridor at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. They're blocking the entrance now, supposed to make room for an ambulance. That's all we can report at this moment. I do not know if the senator is dead or if he's alive. We do not know the name of the other gentleman concerned. This is Andrew West, Mutual News, Los Angeles. 3. This is a special report from Channel 4 News. Good morning. The Space Shuttle Challenger is just a few seconds away from blasting off at Kennedy Space Center near Cape Canaveral, Florida. Challenger is finally getting to leave the Kennedy Space Center. It's launch delayed a couple of times because of weather and mechanical problems. T15 seconds. That's the voice of launch controller Hugh Harris of NASA. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, we have main engines starting. 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff, liftoff. Solid booster rockets kick in. And liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower. Challenger is going into a roll. That's planned. Watch it spiral away from pad 39B. The first launch at 39B since the old Apollo days and the Skylab missions. It's chilly in Florida. Icicles formed on the pad overnight. NASA engineers were concerned that they might be broken off during the launch and have affected the fragile heat protection tiles, which protect the shuttle on its way back in during re-entry. We'll travel down to 65% shortly. I don't know what the effect might be yet. The astronauts might take a look later during their mission. Engines at 65%, 3 engines running normally, 3 good fuel cells, 3 good APUs. APUs are the auxiliary power units. 257 feet per second, altitude 4.3 nautical miles, downrange distance 3 nautical miles. You know, it's always amazing to hear how quickly the shuttle moves. It's already more than 4 miles downwind, as we just heard. Challenger throttling up, engines now at 104%. Challenger go with throttle up. The shuttle mission will launch. My God, there's been an explosion. Velocity 2,900 feet per second, altitude 9 nautical miles, downrange distance 7 nautical miles. This is not standard. This is not something that's planned, of course. I can see a solid rocket booster has broken away from Shuttle Challenger. I can't see the shuttle itself. I don't know if it's able to continue on one rocket booster, if it's able to jettison that rocket booster, if it's able to return to the Kennedy Space Center. Perhaps the engine shuttles are not enough to power the shuttle back down when they'll have to land. We are looking carefully at the situation, obviously a major malfunction. I hope they were able to survive. I hope the astronauts were able to survive. We have absolutely no sign at all of the shuttle itself. All we saw was that one explosion, only about a minute into the flight, and then we saw the solid rocket booster. Now here's something coming down. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's the shuttle. I believe that's a piece of debris that's coming back earthbound. I don't know. It's too small to be the shuttle itself. Pieces falling out of the sky in the Florida morning. It's 20 till noon in Florida. There are contingency plans for when the shuttle, when something goes wrong, when something goes terribly wrong. We have a word from Flight Dynamics that the vehicle appears to have exploded. The director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point. We heard from launch control that the vehicle has exploded. That's the orbiter itself. The shuttle Challenger has exploded. We must, emergency procedures are in effect. We must assume the crew is not alive. This is unheralded in the history of the space program. Ladies and gentlemen, I have covered space shuttle launches since the very first launch, before the first launch, going way back, and nothing like this has ever happened. Of course, there was the first Apollo fire on the ground at the Kennedy Space Center, the Apollo 1 fire that killed three astronauts during a test run back in the 60s, but the space shuttle program itself, to this time, has been untouched by any human problem. Okay, cuatro. John Smith is on the line, and I don't care what's on the line, Howard Cosell, you have got to say that. We know in the booth. Yes, you've got to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed by us, by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. Hard to go back to that. Hard to go back to the game after that, newsflash. Frank Gifford? Indeed it is, Howard. We interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin from NBC News. Former Beatle John Lennon is dead. Lennon died in a hospital shortly before being shot outside his New York apartment tonight. A suspect is in custody but has not been identified. Again, John Lennon is dead tonight of gunshot wounds at age 40. We now return to the Tonight Show. In the latest report that we've got from the Associated Press, a police spokesman says that a suspect in the killing of John Lennon is in custody, but he would give no further details. The spokesman did say it was not a robbery and that John Lennon was killed most likely by a deranged person. It's 11:15 now, and we're going to be doing a full hour of Beatles in lieu of Boston on Moon Rocks Tonight. It's 18 minutes after 11 on this, a rather gloomy Monday for now. I was going to say for fans of music, but certainly for anyone. John Lennon, former Beatle, shot to death in New York City this evening. It happened outside his apartment building on the city's Upper West Side. Lennon, who just had his 40th birthday in October, was rushed by police to Roosevelt Hospital and pronounced dead upon arrival. According to police, the shooting took place outside the Dakota, that is, the century-old luxury apartment building where Lennon and wife Yoko Ono lived. Police have a suspect in custody. They describe him as, quote, a local screwball. And they say there doesn't seem to have been any motive for the shooting. It was just 2 months ago that John released his first single in more than 5 years and ironically titled it Just Like Starting Over. John Lennon, dead tonight in New York at the age of 40. None of us will probably ever forget where we were and what we were doing when we first got word, when we first heard the first reports that John Lennon, the man who gave birth to the Beatles, was dead, felled by a lone gunman outside his New York City home. Every other song for the remainder of this hour will be a track of music by the Beatles as we think or exist in memorial for the death of John Lennon. His wife Yoko Ono was with him when he died. They do have a suspect in custody, but the police have released no other details at this time. We will keep you posted on the situation, of course. John Lennon was shot tonight in New York, and he is dead. And I think if you're looking for a radio station tonight that's not playing Beatles music, you will have a long hunt. Stereo 101, doing a complete hour of Beatles songs, some written by Lennon, some written by Lennon and McCartney, but all John Lennon was a part of. It's 11:49 right now, and in case you haven't had your radio on, former Beatle John Lennon was shot and killed in front of his Manhattan home on the Upper East Side tonight, Upper West Side. He was 40. Police said Lennon was shot three times about 11 o'clock tonight and died in the emergency room at Roosevelt Hospital. His wife Yoko Ono was with him when he died. One witness says the man who shot Lennon had what was described as almost a smirk as he pulled the trigger. We'll be doing a Devo Hall & Oates concert coming up at midnight, and any news about the Lennon situation we have will be interrupting the concert as soon as we get the news, okay? Let's try some material from former Beatle John Lennon at Q92. It's midnight, good evening. I'm Michelle Diamond, John Lennon dead, shot down around 10 o'clock tonight outside his Manhattan apartment. And tonight on KCLD-FM, instead of full tracking, we have an hour of John Lennon and Beatles music in honor and memory of the great man, a great musician. Here's a track from yesterday and today called I'm Only Sleepin'. 1971. A good question for anybody to ask themselves when they're going over this event in their minds. I would say particularly those of you who are hovering around 30, between 25 and 35 maybe, ask yourself where you were, what you would be thinking, how you would look possibly even today if it wasn't for John Lennon. Good night. Number five. Jefferson County, 911. Yes. I'm a teacher at Columbine High School. There's a student here with a gun. He shot out a window. I believe one student, I don't know what's in my shoulder. If it was some glass he threw out or what. Okay, has anyone been injured, ma'am? Yes, yes, okay. And the school's in a panic and I'm in the library. I've got students down here. Under the table, kids! Hides down, under the table! Kids are screaming. The teachers are trying to take control of things. We need police here. Okay, we're trying to get them here. Can you please hurry? Who is the student, ma'am? I don't know who the student is. Okay. I saw a student outside. I was in the hall. Oh, dear God! I was on hall duty. I saw a gun. And I said, what's going on there? And the kid was following me. And he said it was a film production, probably a joke. And I said, well, I don't think that's a good idea. And I went outside to see what was going on, and he pointed the gun straight at us and shot, and my God, the window went out, and the kid standing there with me, I think he got hit. Okay, there's something in my shoulder. Okay, we've got help on the way. Oh God, just stay on the line with me. Oh God, kids, stay down. Do you know where he's at? I'm sorry? Do you know where he's at? I'm in the library. He's upstairs. He's right outside of here. He's outside? He's outside of this hall. Outside of the hall or outside? He's in the hall, I'm sorry. There are alarms going off and things, there's smoke. My God, smoke is coming into the room. I've got kids under the table. I don't know what's happening in the rest of the building. I don't know, I'm sure someone else is calling emergency numbers. Yes, we have a lot of people on. I just want you to stay on the line with me. We need to know what's going on, okay? Okay. I'm on the floor. Okay. You've got the kids there. And I've got every student in the library on the floor. You guys stay on the floor. Is there any way you can lock the doors? Smoke is coming in from there, and I'm a little... The gun is right outside the library door, okay? I don't think I'm going to go out there. Okay? Okay. I've got it. I've got three children. Okay. We've got it. I'm not going to the door. He just shot the door. I've got kids on the floor. I've got kids on the library floor. We have paramedics, and we have fire, and we have police on their way, okay? Okay, yes, I mean, I can't believe it. He's not out of bullets. He just keeps shooting and shooting and shooting. Okay, yeah, we have a police officer on the scene. Okay, just try to keep the kids in the library calm. Is there any way you can block the door so no one can get in? I think I don't, I can go try, but I mean, it's like he's right outside the door. I'm afraid to go to that door. That's okay. That's where he is. I'm afraid to go there. Okay. I told the kids to get on the floor. I told them to get under the tables. All of the children are on the floor, under the tables. They're under the tables. Okay, as long as we can just try and keep, I'm trying to keep calm. No one's saying a word. Okay, as long as we can keep everyone there as calm as possible. But I hear yelling going on outside right now. We've got alarms going off. There's going this fire, smoke is filling the room. Okay, keep everyone low to the floor. Yeah, everyone, stay on the floor. Stay on the floor, under the tables. I don't know. What has that kid got? He was like outside all the time, and I was on hall duty, and oh my God, he was going like, woo-hoo! And I don't know who the student was. I saw him, he was wearing black. He looked very large. Male student, like he was out there doing the shooting, like he was out shooting somebody. And I said, what is it? And I said, what's going on out there? Well, it's probably just a toy gun, probably a video production. You know, they do these videos. Well, I said, that's not a play gun. That's a real gun. And I was just going out to say no. And I went, oh my God, that was really close. That shot just rattled me. Okay. Oh God, I'm really frightened. I'm in the library. I think he's in the library. What's your name, ma'am? My name is Patty. Patty? He's yelling now. He's yelling, everybody get up. He's right near me. He's shooting everybody. Okay. Try to keep as many people down as you can. 6. And who were there because they were working when this attack occurred described it as a war zone. One fire marshal, a man named Mike Smith, says everyone was screaming, crying, jumping, running, cops, people, firefighters, everyone. One businessman said, I just saw the building I work in come down. And that, of course, is the World Trade Center, which has just collapsed in rubble behind him. Dust and dirt is everywhere and is still covering everywhere. Nearly all of Manhattan, ashes 2 to 3 inches deep in places. People were wandering around just dazed and terrified. It's a horrifying, horrifying picture. Karen? And President Bush has called it a terrorist attack and a national tragedy. Attacks on American landmarks with American Airlines airplanes. We have 2 trade towers coming down. We have a plane flying into the Pentagon, which has been evacuated and is still burning at this hour. And we also have a report of a plane down, a large plane in western Pennsylvania, a 767. The FAA is also trying to locate several planes that are still missing and may have been hijacked. They also say, officials, it's too soon to speculate who may have been behind this. Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat has denied responsibility, condemned it, and called it unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. Jim? The stories that people are now telling about what happened this morning are now coming, and the eyewitnesses are telling these horrifying stories. People before the 2 buildings collapsed, jumping out of windows, falling to their deaths, trying to escape the burning plane and the smoke. One witness, a man by the name of Kenny Johanneman, tells us what he saw when he was in the building. Do we have Kenny? Apparently we don't have Kenny Johanneman there. Kenny said he was in the basement, apparently, the World Trade Center, when the building came down and the elevator just blew up. There was lots of smoke. He says, I dragged a guy out. His skin was hanging off. I dragged him out to help him into the ambulance. For many people, unfortunately, there was to be no help because both buildings collapsed upon them. And recapping what we've told you, we have America under attack. A terrorist attack is what President Bush is calling it. Both the World Trade Center towers have collapsed. The scene in New York is one of disbelief. Smoke is now obscuring the entire skyline of Manhattan. All federal buildings in New York and Washington, D.C. are closed. There have been attacks in Washington as well. We have a report of the Pentagon being struck by the plane. The fire is still burning there. There was a report of a car bomb outside of the State Department. That has since been shot down. We have a report. We had a report that there was a bomb in the Capitol building, but that has been shot down as well. Most of the federal buildings in Washington have been evacuated. The Treasury Department, the Capitol, even the White House, where reporters were hurriedly herded out of the building when a plane was heard circling overhead. And it's unclear who was responsible for these attacks, and that will become clear in the weeks and months ahead. But clearly, this was a coordinated attack. It happened in rapid-fire fashion. One plane, then another, into the World Trade Center in New York, and then a third plane into the Pentagon in Washington, and a fourth plane crashing. We believe it may be connected. We don't verify that yet, but crashing in Pennsylvania. This all happened very quickly. The reports came in just as quickly. We are boarding Air Force One. They have bomb squads out here checking all of our gear. Here on Capitol Hill, we've just been told the Capitol is being evacuated and that all reporters follow the America under attack. War coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC New York City. It just blew up, a big explosion. People started running. It was chaos everywhere. An eyewitness describing the scene in what used to be the World Trade Center towers in New York City in Lower Manhattan. Both towers hit by airplanes this morning. We were told an American Airlines jet crashed into one of the towers. Then, incredibly, both 110-story towers collapsed. They crumbled, bodies falling from the buildings. American Airlines now says it lost two planes, around 160 people on board of both those planes. They are gone. New York City is closed down. Then in Washington, another plane crashed into the Pentagon. This is one of the things that you dream of in your worst nightmares. It appears a large jet aircraft, perhaps the size of a large passenger plane, came very low, clipping off light posts as it approached the Pentagon and slammed into the side of the Pentagon and drove itself from the outer ring all the way into the inner ring. The area of the building went into flames. There are many, many floors of destruction deep in the heart of the Pentagon. No casualty numbers yet, but they're sure to be very high. Another large plane has crashed in southeastern Pennsylvania, in Somerset County. Apparently that may be a United jet that was hijacked out of Chicago. The FBI is now trying to determine who is responsible for today's attacks. All planes are grounded around the country. A gargantuan explosion. Oh my God, I don't believe it. An eyewitness to an unbelievable disaster in the past hour. A plane apparently hit one of the towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan in New York. America under attack. Our coverage continues. WABC News. This is WABC, New York City. 7. Wow, it's weird because I'm hearing this music and I'm seeing online this video of the three angels. You know, Charlie's angels running out of a room, you know. Jeff McKinley's running into the room. Well, the talk, much talk today about Farrah Fawcett, certainly, but now there is news that Michael Jackson has been rushed to the hospital. I think it's in Los Angeles, I'm not sure. We're going to have a news report coming up soon, but we have a squawk box, an intercom that links us to the newsroom in New York City, and they just came on saying that there is a special report coming up about Michael Jackson's physical condition, which apparently is dire at this moment. It's interesting. Before we came on the air today, I hope this is not the case, but Jimmy and I were talking about how things happen in threes. We just lost Ed McMahon, and today we lost Farrah Fawcett, and now we're hearing Michael Jackson is ill. I'm saying he's ill. I don't know how dire it is, but the indication is that he's quite ill. They're going to run a special report. They don't do that lightly, the folks back in New York. So we're going to do this in about 10 seconds. We're going to get the latest on Michael Jackson. Boy, there's a lot of curiosity out there. This is the CBS News special report. I'm Dan Revive. About an hour after the first word that pop music star Michael Jackson suffered a heart attack in Los Angeles, it's now reported, and reliably reported, that he has died. The Los Angeles website says Michael Jackson, age 50, has died. He was in a coma when taken from an expensive rental home in Los Angeles. The website TMZ.com has been reporting that Jackson has died. We go now live to Los Angeles, CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman. Well, Dan, if this is all correct, it's just a shock here in Southern California and around the world. The LA Times, as you said, saying that Michael Jackson was pronounced dead. This is according to the LA Times by doctors this afternoon after arriving at the hospital in a deep coma. The LA Times is quoting city and law enforcement sources. The LA Times is a very reliable newspaper. Obviously, the website TMZ, which has also been very reliable in the past, had reported earlier that Jackson had died. Now we have reports confirmed by the Los Angeles County Fire Captain Steve Ruta that Jackson was not breathing when paramedics arrived at his home. All of this around 3 hours ago. And that's when the 911 call was made, exactly 3 hours ago. Paramedics came to the home. That's when Jackson was reportedly not breathing, taken to the UCLA Medical Center, and now, as we heard, both the Los Angeles Times and TMZ are reporting that Michael Jackson, the pop star, the legendary pop star known by millions of fans around the world, has died. That's CBS's Dave Browdy, and in case you've just tuned in, Michael Jackson, age 50, has died. He suffered a heart attack, an apparent heart attack, in Los Angeles. Michael Jackson died, yes, on the same day that Farrah Fawcett died of cancer in Los Angeles at age 62. Let's turn to the media critic and historian Robert Thompson of Syracuse University. Michael Jackson may have had well a tattered image at times, but when it comes to the music and the dancing, he gave pleasure to tens of millions of people. Robert? Not only pleasure, but I would put him right up there with Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, P.T. Barnum. I mean, this guy was far and away one of the greatest American entertainers that has ever lived in this country since the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock. I mean, he was not called the King of Pop for nothing. He was a superstar. And I'll never forget when I launched the moonwalk on the Motown 25th anniversary show in 1982. It literally made my jaw drop. Nobody had ever moved like that before. And what he did for MTV, and what he did for the Art of Music video, and what he did for all kinds of performance styles in the 80s, he was really a superstar. Well, Robert, what about the image part of it? You know, there's a PR problem, problems with his personal behavior, etc. Does it take away from the way that we'll remember Michael Jackson, the musician? Well, I think for at least 50 years, yes. As long as anybody is around that remembers the trials and the dangling of the kid off the balcony and all of that stuff, we'll never be able to separate these ideas. However, 100 years from now, I'm convinced we will still be listening to the Thriller album 100 years from now when nobody's making all those connections. I think his musical legacy will last a lot longer than the legacy of his music, multiple peculiarities. But we shouldn't ignore them. I think this was really one of the great American stories of the, well, what celebrity can do to a human being. I mean, this guy became so famous, I think he became such a huge celebrity that he was isolated from the real world as most people know it. He was living on Planet Michael, and he called it Neverland, of all things. And I think when somebody else's behavior might be to tell you to knock it off and make corrections, I think he was almost forced to be living in this world of his. It's really almost a Greek tragedy-like story. Robert Thompson of Syracuse University. Again, if you're just joining us, Michael Jackson, the pop star, has died at age 50. This has been a CBS special news report, The Death of Michael Jackson. I'm Dan Revive, CBS News. I've finished my reading tonight in Espanol. It's going to be a little difficult, but you'll understand the gist of it. The last death and disaster, though not a North American one. Augusto, es conveniente de la misión al servicio de investiga, de inteligencia de las tres instituciones para que lo ubiquen y lo tomen preso, esto gallo deben estar fondeo que están con varias culebras. Patricio, conforme, y yo acabo de comandante Radiola está en contacto con la moneda. Entonces, se le va a transmitir el ofrecimiento este último e rendición. You know what? You read this for me.
It's no, good. You should
really,
read it.
It's really good.
You well, should read it.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
I'm really having
yeah,
trouble. Do you understand some of it?
No, yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Reading
okay.
It.
You want me
your
to
Spanish
it's
is better than mine.
No, it's beautiful when
okay.
You read it.
It's really quite good.
Come on, suffer a little bit.
I suffered in the beginning.
You want some wine? Want some wine just to loosen
no,
up?
No, no,
no,
no, no. Okay.
Me
acaban de informar de que habría e intención de parlamenta. Augusto, rendición incondicional, nada de parlamenta, rendición incondicional. Patricio, bien, conforme, rendición incondicional. Y se le toma preso ofreciéndole nada más que respetare la vida digamo, a gusto, la vida y se le su integridad fisica y enseguida se le va a empacar por otra parte. Se mantiene el ofrecimiento de sacarlo del país, pero el avión se cae viejo a cuando vaya volando. Patricio, hay que hacer conforme con toque de la queda, conforme con el estado de sitio, pero hay que agregar algo. Se va a aplicar la ley marcial a toda persona que se la sorprenda con armas o explosivos. Va a ser fusilado de inmediato sin espera juicio sumario ni sumari. Okay. Augusto, ten cuidado con el señor presidente, que es muy chueco. No dice nunca la verdad. Así que hay que tener mucho cuidado con el generalísimo Leite. Está en el air listo para iniciar operación. Comuniqué también que Tomás Moro va a ser batido dentro del 30 a 40 minutos. Dentro al 30 a 40 minutos, cambio. Augusto, mira, este caballero está ganando tiempo. Estamos demostrados débiles nosotros. No, excepte ningún parlamento y diálogo, rendición incondicional. Es bien claro lo que te digo, rendición incondicional. Si quiere, viene el acompañado de Sepúlveda al ministerio y se entrega. Si no, vamos a bombardear cuanto antes. Patricio, se le está informando que en 10 minutos más se va a bombardear la moneda. Así que tiene que rendirse incondicionalmente y si no, sufrir las consecuencias. Augusto, no podemos nosotros aceptar plazos. Golepa con la piscera. Ni parlamento que significa diálogo, significa debilidad. Todos esos mugrientos que están echando a parir el país, tienes que declararlos presos, y el avión que tienes dispuesto tú arriba, y sin ropa con que tienen tien pa fuera viejo, generalísimo late, dejesense de leyes y de toques y mujeres y de jeep. Yo voy a actuar de inmediato. Cambio y terminado. 8:45 a.m. Radio Corporación, compañeros que me escuchan. La situación es crítica. Hacemos frente a un golpe de Estado en que participación la mayoría de las Fuerzas Armadas. En esta hora asiaga quiero recordarles algunas de mis palabras dichas en año 1971. Se las digo con calma, con absoluta tranquilidad, y no tengo pasta de apostal ni de mesías, no tengo condicionales de matrir, y soy luchador social que cumple una tarea que un pueblo me ha dado. Pero dejaré la moneda cuando cumpla el mandato que el pueblo me diera. Defenderé esta revolución chilena, y defiende el gobierno porque es mandato que el pueblo me ha entregado. No tengo otra alternativa. 9:03 a.m. Radio Magallanes. Este momento pasan los aviones. Es posible que no acribilen, pero que sepan y aquí estamos, por los menos y con nuestro ejemplo, que en este país hay hombres y saben cumplir con la obligación que tienen. Pagaré con mi vida la defensa de los principios que son caros a esta patria. Caerá un baldón sobre aquellos que han vulnerado y sus compromisos, faltando y su palabra, roto la doctrina de las Fuerzas Armadas. 9:10 a.m. Río Magallanes. Seguramente esta será la última oportunidad en que pueda dirigirme a ustedes. La Fuerza Aérea ha bombardeado las antenas de Radio Magallanes. Mis palabras no tienen amargura sino decepción. Seguramente Radio Magallanes será al acalada y mental tranquilo de mi voz, y ya no llegará a ustedes. No importa, la seguirán oyendo. Siempre estaré junto a ustedes. Por lo menos mi recuerdo será el de un hombre digno que fue leal con la patria. ¡Viva Chile! ¡Viva el pueblo! ¡Vivan los trabajadores! Estas son mis últimas palabras, y tengo la certeza de que mi sacrificio no será en vano. Tengo la certeza de que por lo menos será una lección moral y castigara la felonía, la cobardía y la traición. Gracias.